Page 334.
Turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Certainly a blessing to be here and hear the good psalm service tonight.
Yeah.
Just to be able to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. A good place to be. Mark chapter 9. We'll begin reading with verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. We'll cease reading with these verses tonight. You know, we're not going to dive very deep into this thought of demons or deaf spirit, this deaf and dumb spirit that was there. But I don't want to just sweep it under the rug either. Now, a lot of that is is more than I know what to do with. I'll just say it that way. But the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So that is something that is very, very real. It's something that we do have to be concerned about and deal with. And this young man, he had this deaf and dumb spirit. But what I want to notice is this question Jesus asked this man at seemingly a very desperate time. It almost just seems like the question should have waited till later. But he asked him, as he sees this boy, and this boy is tearing himself and falling down, gnashing his teeth and foaming, and Jesus just turns to have a conversation with the father. He said, how long has he been this way? As if it's really no big deal. How long has he been in this condition? And I think there's something to that question, Brother Alton, that we all need to stop and consider here tonight. How long is it ago since this came unto him? His answer was of a child that it's been this way with him. He's been hindered for a long, long time. I believe that's implied here. He's been hindered for a long time because he's been harming himself for a good while. He's been a handful, you might say. You know, we've been watching him and he throws himself toward the fire. He throws himself into the water to destroy himself. And so, you know, no doubt his parents, you could imagine just the desperate feeling of you're on watch 24/7 with this young man. He's been a handful. We need help desperately. You know, sometime in the past, he was hindered. Whatever caused this to come upon him, I don't know. Brother Mike, I don't know why that this spirit came upon him, this deaf, this dumb spirit. But from a child, it's been this way, and it seemed like for a good while they've been battling this. So he's been hindered. And ever since this come upon him, he has not been the same. And the Lord is saying, I want you to take me back there. Let's go back to the beginning. Where did it start? And so he gives him that explanation. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about that question. How long has it been this way? When did it start? While you're thinking about that, and let's kind of meditate on that a little bit, let that simmer. I want you to think about Elijah just a minute. And Elijah, as he would go into the cave with this woe is me attitude, and the Lord comes along and he says, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want you to think about the answer Elijah gave him. I'm very jealous of the Lord God of hosts. Very jealous. I'm the only one left. There's nobody serving you. I'm all by myself. And so just take my life. Just go ahead and let's call it quits. You know, whenever I think about that, no doubt he said that. This is, you know, I don't have anybody on my team, and you know, I've had it. But what did that stem from? You know, because there was a time whenever Elijah was standing on top of the mountain, and he's calling fire down from heaven, and you could only imagine the excitement and the thrill that would be to see God answer in such a wonderful way. But then he's hindered. And a lady sends word that I'm going to kill you the way you killed my prophets. And from that point, he runs and he goes and he hides in a cave. And when God comes along and says, what are you doing here? He said, I'm pouting. Just in my own words. I'm mad. He didn't say it that way. But he said, God, I'm very jealous of you. I believe there's some anger implied there. I believe he's saying, nobody else. Look, I thought that this was going to be the answer. I thought that everybody was just going to jump on Team God and Team Elijah, and we were going to march through, and we were going to have our way, and everything was going to be good. But it didn't turn out that way. And now I'm here, and I'm ready to throw in the towel. But that stemmed from something. Now, I know God shows him some things here, and God gets him back on track, but what I want us to see is that could have festered for years. He could have taken that attitude and went for years just mad at God and mad at God's people because nobody really cares. Things are not working like they should. He could have let that fester and simmer. And he could have been angry. And he could have thrown in the towel for good. There's people that do. Throw in the towel. Say enough's enough. Jacob. I know I'm giving you a lot of things to think about tonight. But Jacob, he come to a place he called Bethel. A place where he saw the Lord. Place where he saw angels ascending and descending upon a ladder. And he called that place Bethel, and he made a promise to God that I'm going to come back here. If you'll bless my trip, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to worship you for the rest of my life. I'm going to worship you. And God takes him and blesses his trip. But we find him take a detour and he goes off to a strange land. And there he gets involved and his family brings in a bunch of false gods into their home. And he's got a daughter that goes out and she, for lack of a better term, placed the harlot there in the city they're in. And the brothers, they hear about this and how their sister's been defiled. And they go in and they seek revenge. And then Jacob said, y'all made a big mess out of everything. We stink in the nostrils of the people. And then Jacob says, wait a minute. Y'all get rid of all these idols. Y'all change your clothes. We're going to go back to Bethel. We're going back to where we should have been a long time ago. We're going back there. This thing has stemmed out for a long time. We're going back to where we need to go. Sometimes we need to go back and address a hindrance in our life. And I don't know all the reason for the message tonight, but this is a strong burden on my heart. Sometimes we cannot move forward because something has hindered us and we cannot move past that. It's like trying to build on top of a mistake or a problem or a hurt, and it needs to be addressed. Perhaps something has scarred us in the past. Maybe the Bible tells us, if someone has wronged you, if there's aught between you and a brother, that before you sacrifice to the Lord, you need to go to that brother and get that fixed. That's a hindrance there, and it can last for a day or it can last for 10 years if we let it. Bible tells us if someone has a mote in their eye, a mote, just a splinter. Just a little piece of, I guess, chipped wood. Someone has a mote in their own eye. And you know this about them. He said, before you help them with the mote in their eye, you need to consider you might have a beam in yours. In other words, there's something there. It's underlying. It's there and it needs to be addressed before you can move forward and help someone. Thought about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul withstood Simon Peter to the face. We all know that story. And we all understand who Peter is. I mean, Peter he's got a pretty fiery attitude about him. I believe that's pretty obvious to see. And as I consider Paul withstanding him to the face and telling him, you're to be blamed in this, and basically what he did was let him know he was a hypocrite in front of all these people. I'm sure, and this is just my belief. Now, it may not be that way, but this is how I see it. I just feel like Peter was wounded by that for a little while. When I say wounded, it probably hurt his feelings. I don't know too many men that wouldn't hurt their feelings. And he could have let that drive a wedge between him and the Apostle Paul. And he could have been ugly about the Apostle Paul. And he could have said some harsh things about him. But when we read the letter of 1 and 2 Peter, what we find is Paul addressed the beloved brother Paul. The beloved brother Paul. He didn't let that hinder him. He could have, and he could have let that fester, and he could have let it go on and on and on. How important is it to allow Jesus to go back and heal our past hurt? Or past sin? Or something that is there that we are constantly having to revisit? It's so important. Again, we read over in the book of Ephesians, we read about the spiritual enemy. All these principalities and powers, and sounds like a sci-fi movie. It sounds scary. And in the midst of all that, actually, he describes these powers that we're fighting against. No doubt we consider the devil. He's our adversary. He's that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We understand that. We know that he has a legion, an army at his disposal. We can go read over in Revelation where the old dragon, he took a third of the stars. And no doubt that's probably the angels, a third of the angels we read about that he has at his disposal. And in all that, he says that we're to put on the armor of God. Brother Chris prayed about the armor of God. Wrap us in God, in the Lord's armor. God gave us armor. He said, you're in a battle. You're fighting. And he says that there's going to be fiery darts hurled at you. And he said, you take the shield of faith. Because that shield of faith is able to quench the fiery darts. Now, I've heard that all my life, and I got to thinking about that today. He didn't just say darts. He said fiery darts. There's a difference there. A dart or an arrow, as we think of, you know, if we're hit with an arrow, there's a wound there. But if we're hit with an arrow and it's on fire, it not only wounds, but it continues to wound. And it continues to wound. And it continues to wound until it can consume us. That's why they set them on fire in the first place. They won't do as much damage. An enemy does. They won't do as much damage as possible. And so this dart that may hit us, it doesn't just do a little damage and it's over with, but it can continue to do damage for time to come. You know, you think about just the dart itself. It does immediate damage, but then that burning, it continues until it's extinguished. And faith allows Christ to quench those fiery darts for us. Faith allows God to go back to the hidden sin or the unimaginable hurt we've suffered and begin to heal it. You know, there's a place on Gates Road, close to where I live. And it's in Jefferson Davis County, by the way. So it's one of those type of roads that is just terrible. All the roads in Jefferson Davis County is terrible, it seems like. But the one we live on, back a few years ago when all the floods came through, it just washed, as I guess a culvert went under the road, and it washed a whole section out. There was basically a ditch through the road. And so they come for a little while, and they blocked it off. You couldn't go in that direction. And well, no, they fixed it. Brother Atchison, they fixed it. You know how they fixed it? They put dirt in it. That's how they fixed it. They filled it full of dirt. And so, you know, we was glad to get the road back open because we were having to go a long way around, and you go across, it wasn't long. You had to come to a stop because you would tear your car up hitting it. Just potholes. And then we had another rain, and it washed it completely out again. And they fixed it. They put more dirt in the hole. And then they sprayed some tar and rocks on top of it, and so it looked a little bit better. And it's, well, that ought to fix the problem. Until it rained again. It rained again, and it was gone again. They fixed it whenever they came, and they pulled out the culvert. It looked like Swiss cheese without the cheese. There was nothing there. Just the holes. There's nothing there. I mean, it was terrible. And they pulled the old one out and they put a new one in. And then they fixed it right. The way I see it, Brother Mike, they could kick a little dirt in that hole from now on. They wasn't ever going to fix it. They could patch it. Now, that was not going to be the answer. They needed to go back and fix the main problem. They needed to go back and start again. Tonight, I want to encourage us because the Lord can help us go back and heal an underlying problem if we will let Him. As a preacher, I hate to say, sometimes I get up here and I say things about preachers. And I don't want y'all to think all preachers in the world are corrupt. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he pretty much let me know it seemed like all preachers are corrupt. I don't want y'all to think that, but some are. And I was talking to one, and he had evermore insulted my family. I'm talking about as bad as it gets. You see old cartoon where old Bugs Bunny said, "Them's fighting words." That's kind of the way it was. See, those were fighting words. He had insulted my family, but I felt like, well, what I'll do is I'll mark him off my book. I don't like him. 10 years went past. My attitude toward him was, well, I don't have to be around him. I don't have to like him. And I could get along with life pretty good until his name came up. When his name came up, I didn't have anything kind to ever say about him. And I felt like, well, yeah, I'm not out here. I didn't go fight the man. I didn't go say anything ugly to him. I'm just avoiding him. But there was a bitterness there. And really what I was trying to do is ignore it. Just ignore it. It'll go away. But every time I heard his name, I didn't have anything kind to say about him. And I finally went to him one day and I addressed the matter. And there was some apology there and there was some explanation there. And the Lord healed my heart that night. That was good because there was a part of me I didn't even really realize I needed that. But the Lord convicted my heart one night whenever I was saying something about him and I said some things I probably shouldn't have said about him to somebody else. And the Lord convicted my heart. So what he done might have been bad, but what you're doing is worse. And so I went and I took care of my part. I feel like I took care of my part. I know the Lord healed my heart of that matter at that time. You know, we read in the scripture, we read about David. David had a daughter named Tamar. And you know, Tamar, she was forced by her brother, her half-brother, to lay with her. And, you know, that's terrible. You hear something like that, and we read about it in Scripture, and, you know, some things in Scripture, you read, it almost makes your skin crawl as well. You read that, and this man takes his half-sister and tricks her and gets her in a vulnerable position and then forces her to lay with him and then hates her afterwards and kicks her out the door and shuts the door, locks it behind her. And he hates her. You know, I read about that. And the Bible don't give us a lot of intel on what happened to Tamar. Except she went into Absalom's house, her brother's house, and she stayed there in desolation. You know, that's sad. I thought it would have been good if she could have found some kind of healing for that. She could have looked to the Lord. I know Joseph. You read about Joseph and all the things Joseph went through and the bitterness between he and his brothers or his brothers toward him and how they mistreated him and sold him into slavery and just totally, completely did him so wrong. And he dealt with that for so many years and he come to a place where he could have gotten revenge on him. But the Lord had healed that man's heart. He said, "You meant it for evil. God meant this for good." I know that that's an awful big statement. But that's the kind of God we have, a God that's able to take something as tragic as being sold into slavery by your own brothers, and he can show you where he's in it all along. He can help you. Fiery darts can burn until there's nothing much left. Faith can quench those fiery darts. Christ can help us to heal, help those wounds to heal. And so I just want to ask you now, and again, whoever this might be to, and I know there's part of it with me, but how long has it been since you've been hindered? How long has it been? Is there a need to go back there? Is there a need to allow the Lord to go back there and help you and heal you? We ask for something.